Hello again. You're listening to the News at One. Mortgage holders, those hoping to borrow for a home, and other borrowers could be facing a further increase in the cost of their loans in the new year. The head of the Central Bank of Ireland, Gabriel McClough, has said the Governing Council of the European Central Bank, of which he's a member, will increase Eurozone interest rates when it meets next month, although he said he'd an open mind on how big the increase should be. The ECB has increased rates by 2% since the summer to try to counter a significant rise in inflation across Europe. A further hike of between half and three quarters of 1% has been widely anticipated. We can talk now to the Governor of the Central Bank, Gabriel McClough, who's on the line. A very good afternoon to you and welcome to the News at One.
Good afternoon, Brian.
So just to put on the record, you are quite clearly saying today that when the Governing Council of the Central Bank meets next month at the European Central Bank, it will increase Eurozone interest rates.
I think we've been clear about that, Brian, since our last meeting when President Lagarde actually said that we expected rates to go higher. I think what's important is to understand why this is happening, and it's happening precisely because we need to get on top of inflation, which at the moment is running way above our target of 2% over the medium term. The people at the end of the day who are most affected by levels of inflation are actually the most vulnerable in society. And if we don't get on top of it, the adjustment we'll have to make later would be even worse. So that's why the ECB is very focused on taking the action that we're planning to take.
So in terms of the range here, as I say, the speculation has been between a further half or three quarters of 1%. What are the conditions that would result in a decision to increase rates at the upper end of that as opposed to the lower end?
Well, it'll depend on a number of things, but one of them will be an assessment as to the extent to which the economy is beginning, the euro area economy, to be clear, is beginning to slow down on its own, and inflation is actually beginning to fall. So the more, and to be honest, the most recent number of the most recent measure of inflation, which puts it at over 10%, makes it, you know, uncomfortable for all of us. But so it'll be an assessment as to how much more we'll need to do to get inflation moving in the right direction.
So it's that inflation figure, because on the other hand, in terms of the wider economic picture, we know the European Commission has said that it believes the Eurozone is in a technical recession already in the last quarter of this year, and that'll continue into next year. Are we looking at the prospect here of what people who are perhaps my generation would recall as stagflation, where we both have high inflation and economic stagnation and high interest rates, which actually are hurting our economies?
Well, one of the things that I am waiting to see, and I won't enter until next month, are the ECB's staff projections and forecasts. I mean, I hear what you just said about the European Commission, but we're waiting to see what the ECB's own assessment is. Mm-hmm. But certainly, we're moving into a world which looks very different to where we thought we were going to be 12 months ago. And we know that's because partly the war in Ukraine, partly the ongoing supply-demand imbalances coming out of the pandemic. I do think, I mean, I know some of us of a certain age remember what inflation was back in the day and what interest rates were at back in the day. We do not want to return to that world at all.
Right. You back in June, you stress tested the impact on households of a 3% increase in interest rates, and you came to the conclusion that between 9% and 12%, I think, of households you believe would be financially stressed if interest rates were to rise by 3 percentage points. Now, do you stand by that assessment? And what does that mean for those households? What is in these terms financially stressed mean?
Well, we haven't updated that assessment, Brian. So we do stand by them. But just one thing to be, just to sort of help understand what that number means. 3% of outstanding mortgages are what we would describe as non-performing, where people are actually not meeting their obligations. Mm-hmm. So financial stress would mean that they were facing particular difficulties. They would probably have to dip into savings. They would be looking to cut back on other expenditure. Mm. So it's an important number because it actually represents families, households who would be affected.
But people who are paying their mortgage, who are managing at the moment, maybe with difficulty to make ends meet, and many of those are going to be pushed into a situation where their income is not going to meet their outgoings as a result of further increases in the cost of borrowing.
Well, I mean that the 12% number that you just mentioned is our current assessment of people who will, at the end of the day, be at greater risk of financial distress. The extent to which that actually materializes will depend in the end on what the lenders actually do, whether they, the sorts of mortgages people are on, whether the lenders pass on the increases that the ECB has made, because that hasn't happened automatically previously.
Just a final question. This was today the publication of the stability report, which you produce. I think is it twice a year.
Yep.
And one of the things you're saying in that is concerns you have around investment in property here and the amount of these funds that raise the money to invest in property by borrowing. And you've put a cap on that. What's your concern there? Why have you decided to act on that?
Well, across the world, the size of funds, and there's many different types of funds, has grown significantly. Mm. And in our view, create a potential systemic risk to the whole financial system. The sort of risk that we saw happening to banks at the last financial crisis. So we're talking about non-banks and what I think should happen globally. Is we need a new set of rules to tackle the risk of that happening in the non-bank sector. We've identified that within Ireland, we've got the third biggest fund sector in the world, but within Ireland, it's property funds who are mainly into commercial real estate who are the most at risk from our perspective and have the closest connection to the Irish economy. So what we're doing is setting some limits, issuing some guidance, not to stop mm-hmm. these funds from continuing to do their business, but for them to continue to do it in a stable and sustainable way, so that in the end it doesn't create risk to the rest of the financial system.
And is this limit, is this ring fenced to commercial investment? I mean, could it hit the funds available for build to let, for residential construction?
That most of this, I mean, theoretically it could, but most of this is actually will impact on commercial real estate investment.
But we also know that there is a shortage of funds available for residential construction, and a measure like this that could further reduce available funds would be very bad news for meeting our housing targets, wouldn't it?
No, I think, I mean, as I said a few minutes ago, what this is focused on is ensuring that funds, non-banks, can continue to provide the investment we need, whether it's in property or elsewhere, but to do it in a way that remains sustainable and doesn't put the financial system at risk. In the same way, Brian, when we spoke about the mortgage measures, mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we have to strike a balance between allowing lending and borrowing to happen in a way that doesn't put the whole system at risk.
All right, we'll leave it there. Gabriel McClough, Governor of the Central Bank of Ireland, thank you very much for talking to us.